You're listening to Danny Dave and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
A good day, but for some, not for the Seattle Mariners. They finish off getting swept by the New York Yankees, defeated 4-3. Two home runs allowed by James Paxton in the first inning, enough to hold up as Seattle came back and cut the deficit to one run. They have lost four straight, losing three in a row in New York. And what do we make of what we've learned about this team and what that series says about these Mariners, Dave?
Well, I don't think it's anything too horrible. I mean, first of all, you faced the team with by far the best record at home. They're 29-11. I thought the most disappointing part of the season was when they dropped 3 out of 4 to Houston early on. And that was really before they sort of got their mojo going. And we didn't know what Marco Gonzalez was going to be or Wade LeBlanc. But, you know, that was at home against Houston. That was probably the toughest stretch that we've seen so far. But this is the first sweep, you know. And I know it's coming off that loss 9-3 at home to Boston, and that Rodriguez guy who they have to face again on this trip, and he's fantastic. He's 9-1, like a 3.6 ERA. But right now, I mean, look, they were in both of the, I think the last two games they were in it. They were ahead 5-0. I mean, it was a shame that they choked that away. But I thought a lot of it was that, and I want to say lucky, but because there's a reason why those guys are hitting the ball out of the ballpark back there in at Yankee Stadium. But man, I mean, like Marco Gonzalez, a couple times with Felix, with Paxton, these guys are really good bad ball hitters. And you know, I don't want to say they got lucky because they've been doing it all year long, but it just didn't feel that bad to me. Now, if they get swept in Boston, you know, I'll be a little bit concerned. And you know, then they go on to play Baltimore for four at Baltimore, and then they also, you know, they get Kansas City coming back home and the Angels. So this is the tough part of their schedule we've been looking at for a long time. And, you know, I'm just hoping if they can take just one in Boston, I'll be okay with that.
Yeah, just at
not
least
feel terrible.
Yeah, at least get one in Boston. And so you can.
No, man, they need two.
They need
two out of three.
They need two.
They need
two.
If you're going to get to the end of this road trip and you're going to say, hey, they played. They did okay. They didn't. They need two. The fact that you got swept by New York and you lost a game you should have won and failed to win one you had a shot at, and it doesn't mean that their season sunk if they just win one of three or even get swept in Boston. But for you to feel good about how they played on the road trip, they need to win two of three.
Not for Jim, because Jim already made him a lock to make the playoffs. They're going
to
make
the
playoffs.
I did. Smoking lock to make the playoffs, and ever since made that proclamation,
they're winless.
They're winless, yeah. So, but it has nothing to do with some guy on sports radio saying anything about anything. It's more about the competition they're facing the Yankees, and we'll see. With the Red Sox, though, the matchups look favorable, at least pitching-wise, for them. Maybe you give the Mariners an edge tomorrow night with LeBlanc against the knuckleballer Stephen Wright, based on what happened last week, winning 1-0. But if you think LeBlanc is going to go to Fenway Park and shut out the Red Sox, I don't think that's going to happen. But maybe they'll get to the knuckleballer, too. It's always interesting when a knuckleballer is going against you. I don't know what the strategy is against a guy like that. I guess you go up there hoping the ball doesn't knuckle as much as he hopes it will.
Hey, were you guys peeking at him, by the way, when he
was
warming up down there? Did you see
Danny
him?
Danny was. I missed it, but I wanted to see it.
It's freaky. Because in the visitor's bullpen there, there's a little at Edgar's Canteen at Safeco Field. This is on Friday. You get the perspective of what it would be like, almost to be like the umpire, where you're kind of above the catcher, and you see how the ball moves. It's freaky.
That's a really cool feature, by the way, out at Edgar's. They have that window there. So you're right. You're standing right there like an umpire and watching it come head on.
I mean, it flutters. It really, like, that's the best description of it, is that it doesn't move like a curveball. A breaking ball's got an arc to it. A slider kind of snaps off. Like, the knuckleball, and it waffles. It's such a strange thing to look at.
So it would go left sometimes and right others, and it would drop sometimes?
Yes. It's fluttering.
Yeah. Well, and then it tells you all you need to know. I think they still do this. I'm not sure because I haven't seen a knuckleballer in a while, but usually the catcher's glove is bigger.
Yes, that's true.
Because the catcher just doesn't know where it's going either. Yeah,
By the way, this is a stupid little story to the side, but kind of Paul Moyer can throw a football, a knuckleball. He grabs the end of it and then just chucks it, and trying to catch that, because we had a football game at the postgame show, and sometimes we're there late at night. It's like 11, and we're, you know, during breaks just screwing around. And throws a football. It's really hard to catch. I mean, it's not spinning at all, and it just floats all over the place. You have no idea where it's going to go. So, yeah, that's the same thing. And I was at a game. Who's the old knuckleballer from, well, maybe the Red Sox had him.
Tim Wakefield?
Wakefield. And I watched him one time. I think I was sitting up in the stands behind the pitcher. Or the catcher. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Charlie, and they don't know where it's going either.
And those guys, I remember back in the day anyway, Phil Niekro was a knuckleballer. He one time threw both ends of the doubleheader. He started both games. So, I mean, there's no tool on the arm. But anyway, getting back to the whole matchup there, are you still thinking, because I remember one day on this show you said something about you thought when the Mariners fell out of first place, you thought they were going to go back into first place at some point. You're still confident that's going to happen?
Less confident than I was a week ago.
Because that's just not going to happen.
Sure it is.
No, it's not. The Astros are 3.5 ahead right now.
And the Astros are not going to stay this hot. They're not going to win the rest of their games. I can guarantee you. I can put the smoke and lock that the Astros are not going to win the rest of their games.
No, I know that, Danny, but the Astros are a better team than the Mariners.
Yes.
So that suggests that the Astros are going to remain in first place and that the Mariners will probably not. I think what's going to happen is that the Astros are going to win the division by 10 games and the Mariners will end up being 8 or 10 ahead of the Angels.
That's very possible. That's the most likely. That's the most likely course. But the fact that the Mariners just got swept for the first time and the Astros are on what is going to be their hottest streak of the season, I can't imagine them winning 13 games in a row. They won 12 in a row, right? I can't imagine them having another 12-game winning streak. It's very possible that the Mariners end up in first place again at some point before it's all said and done.
No, it's not. It's just not going to happen.
It's possible.
No, I know it's possible, but
if you keep saying they're going to make the playoffs.
Look at the 5 starters that Houston has.
Yes, the 5 starters Houston
every single game they trot out, whoever they trot out, they're going to have a better chance at beating the competition.
Maybe there'll be injuries. Yeah, we can only hope. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, but look, they've been kind of feasting on a little bit of a weaker schedule. The last time they lost a series was against Boston. They've gone like 13-1, 14-1 since then, and been playing Tampa and Texas and, you know, Kansas City. So, yeah, they could catch them.
It is Danny, Dave, and Moore here. This is the 5 o'clock refresh. It's brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Hey, Dan.
That was what Ice Cube said to me over the phone a little bit earlier this week, and there was a moment where I was legitimately nervous.
Hey, Dan.
Like, when he said that, It was jarring. I was almost as nervous. No, I was more nervous than when I asked him for an autograph when he was previously in the studio. That was last year to promote the Big Three. And we had the opportunity. Well, I had the opportunity to talk to him. It's very fun and exciting. Maybe it takes me back to being a little kid from Klamath Falls, Oregon, where I'm like, somehow I started liking rap. And here I am talking to one of the top 5 rappers ever, who is also a seminal member of NWA. So joining us now on the Venue Kings hotline is Ice Cube. And Ice Cube, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. I kind of got chills you saying hello to me. It's a trip for me. It's really exciting to have you on the show, and we appreciate you joining us, man.
Oh, man, I'm glad to be here.
You got the second season of the Big Three. It starts on Friday. We'll be able to watch that. It seemed like everybody really enjoyed the first season of the venture, Ice Cube.
Yeah, people loved it, man, and that's great because, you know, we had a vision as a fan on what other people would like, you know, when it came to basketball, and to see that we, you know, started off on the right foot is great. You know, we're proud that we were able to have our playoff game right there in Seattle, and we plan to come back in future seasons, you know, to Seattle, so... It's been cool, man. You know, it's just a cool takeoff point, and we hope to build on that, you know, starting Friday.
And it does start Friday in Houston. You'll be able to see that on Fox Sports. You have always been beloved in Seattle, but one of the reasons, and this would forever sort of etch your, any Supersonics fans remembers what you said on Jimmy Kimmel in your performance of It Was a Good Day.
It's ironic.
Been tough. We haven't gotten a lot of love from the NBA, so we really appreciated that, Cube.
Yeah, man, I say that in my show now. I used to say Lakers beat the Supersonics, but then I start feeling bad because, you know, there are no more Supersonics. And I went to the first game I ever went to in the pros. My brother took me to a Supersonics game. We was watching, I think it was Gus Williams and Dennis Johnson. You know, they played together. It was like about 79 or 1980, something like that. And that's what I remember. I remember that logo. I remember those colors. And then to see that team no longer exist, it's pretty sad.
It is sad. Hopefully we're going to get a franchise back. And when you guys come back to Seattle and the new arena that'll be here, hopefully that'll be part of it. But you do have a couple of former Sonics who've been involved with Gary Payton and Rashard Lewis, who have done some work with the Big Three. I know that was exciting for all of the Seattle fans. Really, it's just an awesome opportunity to get to see some of the guys. And I think I heard a comparison you made that sort of golf has a senior tour. But when you're a basketball player and you get to the end and you're not playing in the NBA anymore, there's nothing for you. And it seems like this idea is something that really can resonate and give you an opportunity to see some stars that we still love watch playing.
Yeah, why not? You know, if you love basketball and, you know, we're putting these guys in a position to still show awesome basketball skills and talent. You know, they have the IQ. Even better than the young players. And so 3-on-3 half court, they can still display those skills and that speed. And so it's just the perfect storm, you know, of elevating 3-on-3 to the pro level and also giving us, you know, a chance to see Mike Bibby again and to see Rashard Lewis and these guys who still stayed in shape, who play every week anyway at some park, why not play together on TV against your peers and see who still got it and who still want it?
I saw on Twitter last week where you said you'll always ask Kobe Bryant if he wants a shot at the Big Three, which I think is cool, but I also think if he does take you up on that, I think you're obligated to have him be the halftime entertainment and get him to get up there and rap with Brian McKnight like he did when he released his hip-hop album.
No. We want him on the court. Either he gonna do a cartoon for us or he gonna get on the court. Nothing else.
You did. You won an Oscar.
Yeah, you know, we need either a short cartoon or, you know, a couple of jumpers. But I would love to have him. You know, there's people on my list, Ray Allen, who wouldn't want to see him play again, and Kevin Garnett and Rip Hamilton. And, you know, these guys are still out there, Tim Duncan. They might get the itch one day, and when they do, we'll be right there waiting for them.
Who do you think the best rapper out of all basketball players was? Because we've heard Shaq rap before, whether he's getting up there with the Fushnikins, and other guys have tried it. Allen Iverson had a pretty good album. Oh, who do you think the best rapping basketball player was?
Shaq got the gold albums.
That's true.
Oh, you know, whoever got the hardware, anybody could do it for fun, but can you sell it? And so Shaq got to be the king right now.
How about the best basketball playing rapper? Who was the best at hoops among the crew of rappers, the guys that have been great rappers?
I mean, I can't tell you who's the best, but I know the game is a good basketball player, and Snoop is a great basketball player.
Yeah,
he actually can play. He's actually a beast.
Yeah, he is. I saw him training today on Instagram. He was running through some drills. I was like, man, maybe Snoop's getting in shape. The game ended up here at Washington State, like over in the boonies in Washington State for like a semester or something, which I always wonder how that exactly happened. But he was there as a basketball player.
He was running from the police. Don't worry about it.
That'll be fun. What are you looking forward to most this season with the Big Three?
Expanding the fan base, going live, and just becoming, you know, the talk around the cooler about, you know, what's going to happen with the Big Three. I want people to pick a team and stick with it the whole year and, you know, ride or die with their team. Things like that, you know, to show that we are sports and we're here to stay.
It is really cool. We'll start. You'll have it tip off live. It's this Friday, 4:30. There on Fox Sports. That'll be there. Last thing, I got three quick questions for you, Ice Cube. But I'm just gonna ask. We've got a guy named Jim Moore who's on the show usually, but he's 60 years old. He's kind of lazy. He didn't show up for work today, and we call the guys that listen to him his morons. And I'm wondering if you could, in the spirit of Jimmy Kimmel, when he gets you to say nice things angrily, if you can just say, Jim, I'm so sick of you and your morons.
Jim, I'm getting tired of you and your damn morons.
Cube, you're the best, man. Seriously, we appreciate your time. We look forward to watching the Big Three. And thanks so much for joining us.
All right, man. No problem. Take it easy.
It wasn't very nice of me, was it?
Yeah, the worst part about being on this show is I can't change a channel. I'm stuck. I'm right here, and I can't go anywhere. I get a kick out of you. You call him Cube, like your best buds going way back.
Well, I was going to call him Mr. Cube after he scared me by saying, hey, Dan.
Is Ice better?
Yeah. What do you call him? You got to call him.
Yeah, I can't give you a hard. Well, I can't give you a hard time for that question you asked him, but I can't give you too much of a hard time because this is a big day for you and me because Ice Cube is clearly one of your all-time favorites, and you were in awe talking to him. I felt the same way about Sonny Sixkiller earlier.
Oh, that was good. Your favorite Husky. We talked to him. Yeah, it's been a fun day here. Don't forget, June 29th, you can join ESPN at CenturyLink Field for the inaugural Special Olympics Unified Sports Challenge. Fun, prizes, a chance to support the 2018 Special Olympics USA Games. Register a team of four to compete in activities, hotshot basketball, putting, oversized darts, bucket pong, and more. Again, all in support of the 2018 Special Olympics USA Games coming to Seattle. Learn more at UnderdogSeattle.com.
And Danny, I want to thank everyone for joining our show. A 7-10 day out at Druids Glen. The day sold out in record time. Don't forget, even if you're not golfing that day, you're invited to join us at the Tap House there at Druids Glen for a special live broadcast of our show from 3 to 6 p.m. and Arnold Palmer spiked beverages for just $4. It's a new take on an all-time classic, perfect to enjoy with friends and family. See you out at Druids Glen on July 10th.
Biggest disappointment in this Mariners series with the Yankees certainly was yesterday's game. 5-run lead that they ended up losing. The big blow, that came in the eighth when Alex Colome gave up a 2-run homer to Gary Sanchez. I think we've uncovered the problem with Colome. We'll tell you what it is next.
This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere.
Everywhere.
At 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Why are the Yankees so big? You saw Dylan Betances come in the game, and they got Judge, and they've got Stanton. They're a team of giants.
They are. They're huge. And I was just asking the question, do you think Yankees are better than Boston?
I do, because Severino's the hardest thrown starter in the league, and then they've got guys that just come in and throw fire out of the bullpen. Robertson, who nothing moves straight that he throws, and then you've got guys, Chapman, who what, hit 104? In the Tuesday game, or in the Wednesday game, I'm sorry, the game that he won, which, by the way, Aroldis Chapman came in a non-save situation on Wednesday against the Mariners.
He looked good, didn't he?
Yeah, he certainly did. It didn't seem to take any speed off of it.
Well, he's lefty.
Wait, what?
Why would that have anything to do with it? Yeah. Lefties aren't affected by non-save situations?
Not as much as right-handers from the research I've done. No, it's true.
53%
of the
time.
It's true. You look it up. Left-handers do better in non-save situations than right-handers.
Jim's believing he's got a 50-50 shot on that one.
No,
yeah.
Could be true.
Without having done any of the research, I'm going to take a shot.
Well, no one's going to call me on that one.
We did get a text, and it points to the possibility, a possible explanation for why Alex Colome has not been as good as we expected as the setup guy. He gave up the 2-run homer on Wednesday that tied the game, gave that up to Gary Sanchez. He's given up 5 runs overall. Hasn't pitched all that often. He's pitched mostly against his former team, the Tampa Bay Rays. But what was Alex Colome in Tampa?
He was better than what he's been here.
He was the closer.
He was the closer, yeah.
So when was he pitching mostly? Save situations. He's not the closer here.
Oh, you're going to work with me on this one?
That's what the text suggested, is that he comes in a non-save situation, and maybe he's not getting the oomph that he needs because he's not closing out games anymore.
Well, he told the Poto that he didn't mind that. He didn't mind changing roles, but psychologically, clearly it's affecting him in a bad way.
I don't believe that's true at all.
I find that so hard to believe.
Yeah.
That, you know,
but
the numbers on the board.
Yeah, I do think it is one piece of evidence in Jim Moore's camp, though.
Are you worried about him? I mean, you worried about Nicasio for a while?
I did, and I think I overreacted to Nicasio. I'm not as worried about Colome as I was about Nicasio, although Nicasio should probably stop hitting people. I wonder when Stoudemire came out to the mound on Wednesday to talk to him, whether that's what he said. He's like, hey, man. Stop hitting him in the shoulder. maybe don't do that. Maybe try and get some outs.
Yeah, and then that got Zunino plunked because all the hokey rules in Major League Baseball.
You hit our catcher, we hit your catcher.
Yeah, and poor Mike. You know, I can't wait until Mike Zunino snaps. He's going to snap one of these times, and he's going to go out there and just entirely break somebody in half. Don't you think? And I'll look forward to it. Because, yeah, he got hit, and I don't think that was an accident. Hit him right in the shoulder. Okay, go ahead. He turns that huge back of his, hits him in the back of the shoulder. Fine, whatever. Trots down there. One of these times he's going to snap. He's going to get halfway and go, you know what? I've had enough of it.
Well, don't you think there's a reason he gets hit more than most of his teammates?
Well, he got hit.
Because he's close to the plate. Yeah.
Yeah, he also got hit yesterday because Sanchez got hit. Because Nicasio hit Stanton and then Sanchez, and then the Mariners catcher is turned to wear one. I hope the Mariners snap when they're in Boston. I hope they snap. This is they split a four-game series with Boston here. They've just been swept by the Red Sox. They're on a four-game losing streak. I hope they snap, and I hope they get mad. I hope they kind of jut their chin out a little bit and show some defiance and resolve. And I don't think that a three-game sweep in New York is going to make them question themselves. But I want to see how they bounce back from this. They've been on the right side of a lot of close games. They have the best record in the league in one-run games. They lost by one run today. They've had six walk-off wins. They suffered a walk-off loss yesterday. Like I want to see how they come back, because it's not this team to expect them to just roll from here on out. That's unrealistic. But they need to be able to bounce back from something like this, and I think it raises the stakes as they go to Boston now, the fact that they got swept by the Yankees.
All right, possibilities in Boston and how you're going to feel, because we won't have a show tomorrow because game's on, and then they play Saturday and Sunday, and then Monday we'll see them in Baltimore. But if they get swept by Boston, I guess it depends on how they lose, but you know, if they get swept, I guess then that'll be what, a seven-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll start to be concerned a little bit.
If they get swept, they are in not quite a free fall, but they're in a horrendous skid, a bad stretch of road. If they only win one of three, you're going to look at it and say, and this is starting to make you wonder and worry a little bit about them.
Yeah, and I think, and look, Boston, they don't have nearly the home field advantage that the Yankees have, but they've split in their series, Boston and Yankees. You know, asking the question, who do you think's better? Yeah, I'm hoping it's the Yankees, but I'm not so sure.
After seeing them, who do you think's better?
Boy, I guess right now you'd have to say the Yankees. You're 0-3 against the Yankees. You're 2-2 against the Red Sox, and we'll see. Yeah, I think I'd be fine with it if they took one. Yeah, it's kind of funny because we look at it and we go, oh, man, they got swept by the Yankees. And I rarely do this. You guys are better at doing this than me looking at the bright side of things. But what if the Mariners sweep the Red Sox and they win all three then at Fenway Park? And then how are we going to feel? We're going to start – we'll go back to thinking, hey, maybe they can hold their own with the Yankees, and we'll know that they can hold their own with the Red Sox. And we'll see. New York's still got to come to Seattle to play at Safeco Field. And so you know that if they sweep the Red Sox – they can more than hold their own with Boston, and you like their chances. I just wonder psychologically, and I always take things too far with the intangible stuff. But yeah, if the Yankees come here and take two or three, and you lose five out of six to them in the season series, then you know what does that say when you meet them in the playoffs? It doesn't necessarily say they got your number, but I always wonder about the emotional edge a team gets from beating the other team in the regular season.
If they sweep the Red Sox, I'm going to feel really good about my prediction that the Mariners will be in first place in the American League West again before the season ends.
That's,
I'm going to feel
know,
great about that.
That is along the lines of some of my predictions, because that just is not going to happen.
Well, it makes me root for it even more than I already was. Not only the possibility of seeing them in first, but you being wrong. That would be delicious.
But don't you feel, just based on what we see of the Mariners, that, okay, there's three super teams Wouldn't you say just record-wise the
in the American League
season? Yeah, New York, Boston, and Houston.
Yes.
And then there's only one team at the Mariners level, and that's the Mariners. And then the rest of them, I mean, Cleveland maybe by the end of the year will have a better record than Seattle, but it doesn't matter because they're going to win the Central and they're going to be in. The rest of them, though, there's really no one that's chasing the Mariners.
Not right now, but a lot can change in a month or 2 months. But you're right.
That's
right now.
That's true. There's still half the season to go, and so somebody maybe will get hot. The Mariners might come back to the pack a little bit. But right now, I feel comfortable with where they are, even if they were to get swept by the Red Sox. I just don't like the national perception of the team, especially if they go into Baltimore and win all four there, and then everybody, oh, well, okay, you know, they got a team more their speed, yeah, and they took them out.
Sign me up for the winning all four in Baltimore, and I won't complain a lick about it. I'll say that that's what you're supposed to do, is knock over the teams. So you win four in a row and against anybody, and I'll absolutely take that in my back pocket and not think twice about it.
You know how I always look at things, the glass half empty?
Mm-hmm.
I'm most concerned about Felix's start against the Orioles than I was the start against the Yankees and the start against the Red Sox previous to that. Because
Of the lack of pressure?
Well, yeah, he always seems to get up for these big games, and we see his numbers at Yankee Stadium. It bears it out. He's always been good at Yankee Stadium, and he even admitted he gets up for those games. But how's he going to be going against a 20-50 team in Baltimore?
Well, he needs to talk to Pete Carroll. We treat every game the same.
Yes.
You know, I understand the extra adrenaline and all that, but it just doesn't make sense to me that you can't have a start like that in Kansas City or Baltimore or, say, San Francisco.
Or kind of like you're not up for it in a non-save situation. Oh, I don't have the extra juice that I need because I'm not going to get the imaginary statistic that was created by a sports writer in 1970.
Well, you mock it, but you came my way with column A a little bit.
I gave you a little bone. I threw you a bone there on that one. It is Danny, Dave, and Moore. We'll keep talking about the Mariners. A disappointing series in New York. What do they need to do in Boston to change their trajectory? We'll tell you next.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
it's Danny, Dave, and Moore, streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Wasn't going to be easy. 17-year postseason droughts, they don't just turn on a dime and all of a sudden it's going to be easy. So after all the things the Mariners have gone through this season, guys spraining their ankles in workouts, guys spraining their ankles on the dugout steps, suspensions, all of the different things that happened, two oblique injuries that have happened. The Mariners get swept in New York by the Yankees, losing a game they should have won on Wednesday, losing a game they could have won today, giving up two home runs in the first inning. And look, the Yankees are a good team, and the Yankees in some ways kind of embody what baseball's become. They hit a ton of home runs and have a ton of guys who throw really hard. Long balls and fastballs. That's what the game's about right now, and the Yankees do that better than anybody else in the league.
What's the right field line? Like 316 or something like that?
It's not quite as short as the old Yankee Stadium, but it's still a short porch.
You see the home run porch by Andujar today, how far it traveled? 339 feet.
Yeah. So, anyway, and you can see, if you're a Yankee fan, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's watching Stanton and Judge. I just like watching those guys. They're just so huge. And then, you know, you look at Sanchez as a pretty big guy, and you mentioned all the flamethrowers they have. You know who I think the key is for this is Mitch Haniger. Because Mitch is on a little mini slump right now since the Boston game that they lost 9-2 on Sunday. It's 1-16. So I feel like he's going to, you know, and we talked about this with the pitchers, guys working themselves out of a slump. Kyle Seager, pretty decent lately. I mean,
he homered today.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's starting to come back a little bit, and hopefully Mitch Haniger will. But, you know, they're on this four-game losing streak. It doesn't feel very good right now, and I think it's got us all questioning. But, look, these are two really good teams. And, you know, you look at, like, Houston. I mean, they've been feasting on some pretty bad teams, but they went 14-1. So, I mean, I don't know. They're going to be tough to catch at this point. It's funny, you know, when you lose, and especially it's in baseball, it's weird. You lose a couple, you lose three, all of a sudden you start to, you know, question things and think, and it's why I don't think you can overthink this one. This is the first series that they've gotten swept, and they've just been such a huge surprise this year. And I feel like also, Danny, what you said about Mike Zunino and the look on his face after they lost that game the other night when they had a 5-0 lead, And you see the same thing with Marco Gonzalez and Mitch Haniger. They all look like they really expect to win. And it's a different feel than it has been in years past.
It's funny, though, when you guys both mentioned Zunino and how he reacted. Don't you think he would have reacted like that even if the team was, you know, at a losing record? Because the way they lost that game, when you're ahead 5-0 and you lose in that fashion.
Well, I mean, we're sitting here reading his facial expressions, and I'm not a psychiatrist, but I feel like it's different than what you see as far as an attitude of this team than years past.
The thing that I disliked the most about the sweep wasn't anything that happened on the field. It was the reaction of fans and the feeling that, well, here it goes. Oh, of course they're going to go and get swept. And, oh my gosh, can you believe the bullpen gave up a lead in a 5-0 game? And I wanted to kind of just be like, everybody's got to dig down and really get some perspective here, which is, A, this team has won a lot of games with walk-off home runs and comebacks and all of that improv. It's going to happen to you. Like, be a grown-up about it and understand that sometimes those breaks don't go your way, and sometimes you get walked off instead of walking everybody off, like the Mariners have won 6 games in their final at bat. They've also been great in one-run games, and like, let's not lose perspective. They still got pretty good starting pitching. James Paxton did not have his best stuff. He still struck out 9 and pitched through 5 innings, despite giving up those 2 home runs and nearly a third home run in the first inning. Felix was great. Felix had a really good game for the 3rd time in 4 outings. You should feel really good about it. I was disappointed that people started to say, well, of course they're going to lose. Like, that, to me, more than anything, and maybe that's why Mike Zunino's face after that Wednesday loss meant more to me, because in it, I saw a sense of it wasn't a here we go again. It wasn't a, oh my God, can you believe that happened? It was mad of like, man, we let that one get away and we can't do that sort of stuff. I thought there was some resolve there, and we'll see. We'll see how they bounce back in Boston.
You know, something that Rick Riz has said over the weekend when the Mariners went down 6-3 to the Red Sox, and, you know, we're watching the reaction from fans online, that everybody was kind of losing it. And he might have said this on the air before, but it was the first time he said it to me, where he's like, the best team in baseball is going to lose 60 games, and the worst team in baseball is going to win 60 games. And there's someone on the other side, and a lot of the time you're going to be playing someone good. So he's like, let's worry about the 42. So basically, we're all freaking out about, you know, the majority of what's going to happen. Like, you're going to lose a third of your games. It's going to happen. So, you know, just everybody just take a deep breath. And like you said, Danny, gain some perspective. But at least when he said that to me, it gave me plenty of perspective when judging the season as a whole.
Well, and it makes a big difference, too. I was just looking at the Mariners stats. When you don't have Gene Segura in the game today because he's got an arm infection, and so you got Andrew Romine in there. Segura's hitting .334. Andrew Romine, .148.
Yeah,
they got to do something about that utility guy. I mean, I like Andrew Romine. He's probably a nice kid and everything, but you got to do a little better than that as a utility player. Zunino, he's down to .202. We know that Heredia is slumping. He's down to .238. But the question I want to ask you guys, and maybe the listeners too, Coors Light text line 710-710, do you think they can go 4-2 in the next 6 games? And the reason I ask about 4-2, because if they do that, they'll be 50-31 at the halfway mark and still be on a 100-win pace.
I think they can take 3 from Baltimore. Should be able to. And they're a good road team, and they come together usually after things like this happen. But this one's a huge mystery to me. I'm really excited for tomorrow and the series against Boston, because they took 2 from them, and it's really – other than Houston, the really, you know, best team that they faced. But so 4-2, is that what you're saying?
So you could lose 2 out of 3 to Boston and then win the next 3 in Baltimore?
Yes, they can they can go 4-2. They can go 5-1. Come on, let's not scuffle through. Yes, they should shoot to the idea of winning 2 of 3 in Boston, given what we've seen from them. That's absolutely not out of the realm of possibility. We shouldn't be pleading for the scraps to be left over here.
So 100-win pace come Wednesday at the halfway point.
When's Segura back?
Well, it was day-to-day. I'm not
arm
sure.
Infection.
Yeah,
what is
arm
that?
Infection.
He doesn't have many arms to lose.
I don't
too.
Like the
we
sound of that.
We can't afford that getting any shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah, then we'll be there. It is Danny, Dave, and Moore. We got news about Jameis Winston. Looks like he is going to be suspended for 3 games. We'll ask the professor about that coming up next.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
It is time to find out what we learned. Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Jess!
Guys.
Been a hard week.
Really rough week. What did we... we worked 4 hours today?
Jim almost made me shoot sparkling water out of my nose today, though.
Why?
Because he came into the studio as Bob and Groz were vacating. And Jim just looks at him and goes, huh, 1 hour show today must be tough, huh, guys? And the look on Stelton's face.
It's all worth that.
Did you tell him that he still owes us 45 minutes of radio?
I did not tell him that, no.
That might have put
him
over the edge.
Didn't think it was a good time to be doing that.
Oh, it was so funny. It was so spot on. The other thing is somebody, when we were talking about the streaker getting hit, he was like, oh, I'm a professional cage fighter. I know that you can't just go out and attack a regular Joe on the street. So I asked him, well, what if somebody came in the cage? Would you do that? And then the next one was, do you think you could take Bob Stelton? I don't think he ever got back to me.
Bob will give you the address.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's
right.
where to meet me.
He'll tell you
Sweetheart.
To bring your keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we learned some things today in our very long, arduous work day, including that Jim maintains he's not a jinx.
You're going to look at the Mariners now. They're still going to make the playoffs. They still have a 6.5
Stop
game.
Saying that.
Well, they have a 6.5 game lead over
Stop
an eight-
saying that.
Why?
Because.
It doesn't matter.
Don't you see what just happened?
It does not matter.
Just what just happened. I don't care if you think it doesn't matter. Stop saying it.
They're going to make the playoffs.
Stop it.
They are going to make the playoffs.
God.
You see you... these low-life teams that are behind them? I mean, come on.
Yep. All across the country, managers are there getting copies of Danny David Moore to get the audio. They're going to play it for you. Did you hear what this guy in Seattle said about you? The Twins are going to come out ready for blood.
It just makes no difference.
These low-life teams.
They're in such a... Well, it's a weird year, isn't it? So the super teams, the three super teams, you got the Mariners that are a really good team, and Cleveland's a good team, but the rest of them... Like I mentioned earlier, the Oakland A's, you think they're actually going to put on a charge and catch the Mariners?
38 and 36.
Do you look at Oakland, though, as being capable of... They're not better
They've
than the
They've always
Mariners.
Been pesky. I worry more about like somebody like the Angels.
The Angels?
If they get healthy.
Yeah. Look, a lot can happen. A lot can still happen. Teams can definitely play their way into relevance. You remember... Cleveland last year, all of a sudden, they won a ton in a row. It could change in a hurry.
In a row, yeah. You don't think they're going to falter all the way, the Mariners,
No,
though?
I do not.
I don't either. You look at their schedule after the series against Boston, they face Baltimore, come home, face Kansas City, the Angels, the Rockies. They're going to be okay.
I think it's funny, the oldest and supposedly most mature person on our radio show is Jim going, they're going to win. Don't say it again. They're going to win.
We also had Ice Cube on, and we learned his plans for Kobe if he joins the Big Three.
I think you're obligated to have him be the halftime entertainment and get him to get up there and rap with Brian McKnight like he did when he released his hip-hop album.
No. We want him on the court. Either he gonna do a cartoon for us or he gonna get on the court. Nothing else.
You did. You won an Oscar.
Yeah, you know, we need either a short cartoon or a couple of jumpers.
It was a bad hip hop album. Up there rapping with Brian McKnight, Kobe.
Wow. It's funny though. I think that they get approached by people like you need to do this, right? How is it that Shaq has gold records?
Shaq's goofy. I don't think Shaq was a good rapper, but he was kind of partnered up with the Fushnikins who did all this gobbledygook rap style. It worked. And Shaq's not serious enough. Like, Kobe Bryant, he's made weird choices about, like, how he's presented himself. Like, there was a weird photo shoot he had where he was dressed in all white and it looked weird. Like, he just does weird stuff. And when he rapped, it was like, yeah, nobody's buying this.
Was he being Mr. Unlimited?
Yes, very much the same way. I actually think there are some comparisons between sort of Kobe Bryant's marketing and how Russell's marketed himself, where he's done some. Kobe had a shoe commercial where he was in a full-length, like, onesie leather bicycle suit or a motorcycle. Like, it was like a jumpsuit. And you're like, you're talking about guys with saggy pants that want to wear your shoes. Like, they're not Euro motorcycle riders. What are you doing?
I think it's cool that you like Ice Cube so much that you were nervous to talk to him.
Yeah, I was legitimately nervous.
How big a fan are you of his?
Yeah, he's one of my five favorite rappers.
Okay, what's his real name?
O'Shea Jackson.
Very good.
Yeah.
I would not have known that, would you, Dave?
Oh, I recognize the name now, but I couldn't have come up with it. I remember when, the first time he came through, just you and I interviewed him, remember? And then he came in here, and I remember him just waving and being super friendly. Didn't you get a selfie with him?
Yeah, he let me take a selfie with him.
That's so awesome.
He took pictures with everyone.
Yeah.
And there were kind of some creepers waiting outside the building, too, and mm-hmm. I was trying to escort him through the back door, like security and everything, and he went back outside and signed everyone who was standing outside.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And he couldn't have been nicer about it.
Yeah.
He's really cool. We also learned with him about athletic rappers.
How about the best basketball playing rapper? Who was the best at hoops among the crew of rappers, the guys that are, wow. that have been great rappers?
I mean, I can't tell you who's the best, but I know the Game is a good basketball player, and Snoop is a great basketball player.
Yeah.
He actually can play. He's actually a beast.
Yeah, he is. I saw him training today on Instagram. He was running through some drills. I was like, man, maybe Snoop's getting in shape. The Game ended up here at Washington State, like over in the boonies in Washington State for like a semester or something, which I always wonder how that exactly happened. But he was there as a basketball player.
He was running from the police. Don't worry about it.
That's pretty good. Do you know how tall Snoop Dogg is?
6'4".
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
I watched him in a Pro-Am game, like where there was some like CBA level or a D-League, I guess the G-League now. Like, he went baseline and he dunked. He can hoop.
Yeah. And he's also like 10, 12 pounds heavier than Chris Sale, Jim. Just so you know, Snoop Dogg is.
And he also showed up in my neighborhood, Dave.
What?
Snoop Dogg?
Snoop Dogg, when Emerald Haze opened in the Renton Highlands.
Oh, yeah. I remember
he was there.
That press release.
The Game is from Central Los Angeles, South Central. What do you think it was like for him when he got off the plane in Pullman, Washington?
Probably loved it. Probably looked around and said, man, I'm finally in God's country.
What the heck have I gotten myself into? Well, it's the Pac-12. And he's like, really?
Finally, today we learned the worst part about working here.
We've got a guy named Jim Moore who's on the show usually. But he's 60 years old. He's kind of lazy. He didn't show up for work today. And we call the guys that listen to him his morons. And I'm wondering if you could, in the spirit of Jimmy Kimmel, when he gets you to say nice things angrily, if you can just say, Jim, I'm so sick of you and your morons.
Jim, I'm getting tired of you and your damn morons.
It wasn't very nice of me, was it?
Yeah, the worst part about being on this show is I can't change a channel. I'm stuck.
You know what? I owe you an apology.
Why?
Because I said you were lazy, and that's not true. It was a cheap shot.
Well, I can be.
It was a cheap shot.
I can be, but
it was a cheap and untrue shot.
I actually try and come to every day.
Yes, you do.
Prepared as I can be, even though it doesn't always seem that way sometimes.
It's totally true. It was a cheap shot, Jim. I'm sorry. Do you accept my apology?
Yeah, I don't even know why you're apologizing.
I felt bad. It was a
cheap
shot.
When you take shots at me, it's never malicious.
Well, I'm glad you know that.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
It's done.
I love you.
It's done out of love.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Dave, when he takes shots, I wonder sometimes.
No.
He's swinging at the ankles.
No, no. You just don't like getting punched back sometimes.
That's okay.
You're the chop buster.
Well, that wasn't very nice.
Isn't it what guys do when they like each
yes.
other? I mean, the guys I like the most, you give the hardest time to.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Like Stelton.
I do. I love Bob Stelton.
I know.
But I hate
tell.
The show of record. That show of record stuff, that's just such a bunch of garbage. Really, it is. They're not the show of record. We are.
That's the first hint of professional pride you've ever heard from Jim Moore.
Well, you won't even hear us tomorrow, so.
That was great.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow, though.
Are you?
Yeah.
Because there's no show.
No, because the Mariners are going to be with Wade LeBlanc on the mound.
Yeah. Viva Wade LeBlanc. Let's go LeBlanc 'em. Come on, Mariners. LeBlanc 'em.
You did it last time.
I want to thank Ice Cube. That was really awesome. Thank Sonny Six Killer.
Love that.
Jim enjoyed.
Fun.
We all enjoyed. Jeff Kingston for joining us. The Professor John Clayton. Jessamine McIntyre is our fearless leader. And Ashley was on the board. Thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you next week on Danny, Dave, and Moore.